Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something you'd like to discuss, a question you'd like to pose, we'd love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, of course. 844-322-2742. Call now. Be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. Now, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Our verse for the day is Romans 10:4. Love this passage. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So our righteousness in God is given to us. It is a gift. It is received by faith. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. Mm-hmm. And so Christ put an end to the old law, to the Mosaic covenant, those Ten Commandments. There was no righteousness to be found there.
Correct.
There was only condemnation. There was only judgment. There was only death. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And the law simply identified our sinfulness. It showed us exactly what we were before God and our standing before God. And it wasn't a good standing. So Jesus came and stood in our place. He took the penalty, the punishment of the law. And in so doing, he exchanged his righteousness. He gave that righteousness to us. So we gave him our sin. He gave us his righteousness. That's a pretty good deal.
Pretty good
for us, it is.
And that's what this passage is all about. But Christ is the end of the law. So we can't and we don't need to look to the law or obedience to the law for a righteous standing. We can't find it there. It's not going to be there. We need to look to Jesus and to Jesus alone. So when we come to Christ by faith, we are set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life. We have a new status before God. We're children of God. We've been given the very righteousness of Christ Jesus, and now we get to experience that in a new covenant. So the old covenant has been set aside, and it's actually given way to this new covenant. So we live in the new covenant today, and that's what this verse is all about. And it's so important for us to know this, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And I'm speaking from personal experience. Until you let Jesus be the end of the law, you are going to have a broken nose from running into the brick wall day after day after day after day. As soon as you let Christ be the end of the law, then you can see the law for what it is, thank him for it, and come to him by grace through faith, and your life changes.
Yes.
I swear to you this is true, because I lived it.
And I think we've all lived it to some extent or another. I mean, you really were deep into the law. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was everything to you, and you were depending upon that, your obedience to that law for your righteousness.
Yeah.
But it just didn't work. Maybe, you know, in your best moments you thought, hey, I'm doing okay. But then when you look deep within your heart, you know, I'm not okay. I am really failing miserably at that.
And, yeah, I got tired of trying to argue that 4 out of 10 was okay.
I mean, it's better than most.
Yeah,
it's better than most. But it doesn't cut it. Why? Because God says if you've stumbled in just one, you've violated all of them. So you take the whole guilt of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ has to be the end of it.
Yes.
So he's the final chapter of that particular covenant. It started at Mount Sinai. It ended at Mount Calvary.
Yeah.
Now, for us individually, it ends the moment that we put our faith in Jesus. That's when we're set free from the law of sin and death. Now, as Gentiles, we were never under that Mosaic covenant. That was specifically between God and the people of Israel. But we were under the universal law that said this, the soul that sins will surely die. I mean, that was given back in the garden.
Yeah.
And so that has been over all of mankind ever since. Now, we get freedom from that when we receive Christ. We get released from that through the law of the Spirit of life. So Christ is the end of that law for us, and he ushers us into a new law, the new covenant. So let's get this straight, folks, and I think the Christian life will really start to make sense.
Yeah.
You know, we've got all of these pieces of a puzzle, and they're just laying out there on the table, and we have no earthly idea where they fit. But when we get this one piece right, when we understand that Christ is the end of the law, we start to see where every other piece of this puzzle fits. So you will get to see the big picture of what Christianity is all about when you look at it through this one piece, that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes.
This is the great news that you hear every day right here on Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to the broadcast if you've just joined us. 844-322-2742 is the toll-free number, of course, in the U.S. and in Canada. We would like for you to be a part of this edition. Give us a call quickly if you can, if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss with us. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Now, friends, we have a $25,000 matching gift offer awaiting to be fulfilled with your prayers and your donations. And when it's filled, your gifts will have turned $25,000 into $50,000. Now that's going to help Basic Gospel continue to expand its reach with this message that has touched so many of our lives across this country and literally around the world. And new opportunities await as well. So please help us fill up this excellent matching gift with your doubling gift today. Just visit basicgospel.net or you can call 844-322-2742. Of course, $25,000 becoming $50,000 is a wonderful thing, and we have that opportunity right now. So we pray that you'll help us fill up this reality right now. And you can, again, donate at basicgospel.net or by calling 844-322-2742. And that same number is available right now if you'd like to call with a question, 844-322-2742. Well, overnight we had this call from Tina. Let's listen.
Hi, my name is Tina. I'm calling in behalf of a loved one in a California facility. He would like me to ask you a question about Matthew 18:1-20. He would like if you could just walk through it and explain it. He will be listening, and his name is Charles. I would highly appreciate it. And he would also like to let you know how excited he is that you are back on air. I thank you very much.
Glad to hear from Tina and Charles.
Yes, indeed. And they're listening to our great affiliate out in Northern California, KCBC. Mm-hmm. And so we're glad that that station is really touching people mm-hmm. all across that region. So yeah. Tina and Charles, thanks for calling. And Matthew 18:1-20, there's a lot going on in that particular passage. Jesus is getting ready to be handed over, arrested, and tried and crucified. And so he's preparing his disciples for what's up ahead. Most of what we know happened as far as in these conversations is really recorded for us in the Gospel of John, but here we see some snippets. And two of the disciples came to Jesus with this question: who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? And that's, boy, isn't that a human question?
Yeah.
We want to know who's the GOAT, the greatest of all time. We want to know that in basketball, and we have that discussion all the time. And with LeBron James on the scene, we're wondering, has he surpassed Michael Jordan as the greatest of all time? Well, that's going to be a debate that will carry on for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Well, it was a debate that was happening among his disciples. And they're all thinking, well, could it be me? Could it be this person? Could it be that person? So they asked the question, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus gives them an answer that they weren't expecting. And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So he's really telling us there's only one way to get into the kingdom of God, and that's through humility. It's only in humility are we going to receive the grace that God has poured out on us in Christ Jesus, as we see in several different passages in the New Testament. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we have to humble ourselves. We have to realize that apart from Christ, we're absolutely nothing. We have no leg to stand on. We have no ground to stand on. Our case is empty. Mm-hmm. So we have to receive. We have to put ourselves in a place to receive what God is going to give us in Christ Jesus. So that comes through humility. And all of us enter into the kingdom of God in that humble way. And so in essence, once we're in the kingdom, we all have the same standing. We're all called children of God. There's no one that's greater than anyone else. We all got there in exactly the same way. So we become his children and humbly receive. So he says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, we got to see a millstone over in Israel when we were there last year. And you can see if you tied one of those around somebody's neck, drowning is the only thing. And so he's taking this seriously. He's saying that, hey, there's just one path into the kingdom of God, and it's the path through Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection. There's no other way to get into the kingdom. So anyone trying to move someone away from that, boy, that's dangerous ground, isn't it? And that's what he's saying here. So he's putting some seriousness into this message. And he continues this, woe to the world for temptations to sin. And he's talking about the seriousness of that, and he repeats some of the things that he said in the Sermon on the Mount. Yes. If your hand causes you to stumble or to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to lust, pluck it out. He's just putting a serious edge to it, isn't he, Richard?
Yeah, and of course, if you're reading this and you go, oh my goodness, should I be cutting off my hand? Mm. Of course not. What he's saying is how serious this is. If you remember, Jesus taught under the law. If the law applies to you, whether you're Jewish or a lost person who just needs to know you need Jesus, look at the law. The law says you deserve to die. Well, now what are you going to do? You can't cut your hand off and make it up to God.
Yes.
Although that's what the law would demand.
Right.
Right. What you can do is come to Jesus. So this isn't a judgment. This isn't to say that at the great white throne judgment, you show up before God and he says, well, you know, you caused one of these children to stumble, and so the millstone for you. That's not what he's going to do. He's going to say, did you realize that you were lost and you needed a Savior and you came to me? If you came to me, welcome home.
Yes.
If you didn't come to me, well, you've been condemned the whole time. I don't have to condemn you any further because you've condemned yourself.
Right.
And it's not to make us fearful. It's to make us realize how serious this issue is. I am born dead. I need life. I can't get life for myself. I can only receive it from Jesus.
Yes, indeed. And then he takes this a step further and talks about the parable of the lost sheep and how that the shepherd goes searching mm-hmm. after the lost sheep. And so we come to Christ, you know, as he says, if you are burdened and heavy laden and those sort of things, come unto me and I will give you rest. So there's this calling that moves us to him where we come unto Jesus. But there's also this other side where Christ is pursuing us.
Yes.
He is seeking out those who are lost. That's what he came to do, to seek and to save those who are lost. And when that connection is made, when we humbly receive him, salvation occurs for us, and all of heaven rejoices. And we see that there. And then in the final section of this passage, he talks about if your brother has sinned against you, go to him and be reconciled to him. And he gives kind of a pattern on how to do that. If he refuses you, take two or three witnesses and extend forgiveness that way. If he refuses that, take it to the church. And so he's saying whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Well, what is the binding and the loosing? Well, it's in the message of forgiveness. It's in the message of reconciliation. So let's be a part of that message, of extending that message to others. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you. And what is that all about? Extending forgiveness to those mm-hmm. who have wronged you. So he just goes through several different subjects, but really there's a theme that goes through it all. It's humility in receiving all the blessings of God that are being poured out on us in Jesus Christ.
Yes, absolutely. That is good news. And Tina, thank you for relaying the charge, question from Charles. And I hope that's a help to you, Charles. And hope you'll keep listening and send more questions as you have the opportunity. Right now, we have open lines at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We have a relatively new station, new network affiliate in the Detroit area, WMUZ, and we're glad to be there in the Motor City. We had a question from a new listener on that station. This is from Rhea, who would like to know what the phrase meat of the word means. She says, I've always believed that it was the so-called deeper things of God, such as Bible prophecy or something. Is this true? That's from Rhea in Detroit.
Well, the deep things of God really aren't Bible prophecy. You know, we just have a few things in the Word of God that speaks to end times, and they're very clear. Jesus is coming back. When he comes back, he's going to gather those who are his, and we're going to be with the Lord forever. That's kind of the summary of end times teaching. Now, the rest of it is just speculation on our part of how that's going to happen. Yeah. What's the timeline? What's the time frame? And you know, are we in those times right now? Of course, the people 100 years ago were saying they were in times, and the people 100 years before them were saying they were in end times. And why were they saying that? The sign of the times suggested it, that Jesus's imminent return was about to happen. So we can say we're in the end times. It certainly seems like that based on the signs that we see. And if that's the case, we can look forward to Jesus coming soon. But that's not the meat of the word. Really, the deeper things are the very character and nature of God himself, the very character and nature of Jesus Christ himself, the love that he has poured out on us. So the Word of God calls us to grow in the grace of God. So if it's calling us to grow in the grace of God, then that's one of the deeper things of God. If the Word of God is calling us to grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus, then it's Christ Jesus himself who is the deeper thing of God. So we don't need to really complicate this. I mean, God has revealed himself in Jesus. You can't get any deeper than God himself. And so if we're going to know anything about God, we're going to have to look to Jesus Christ to know about God the Father. And we can't explore the depths of who he is. I mean, we can think we can know him as well as we can know him, and then he reveals a little bit more. And then he reveals a little bit more. So we can soar on the heights of God's love. We can swim the depths of his love for us, and how that spells itself out in human relationships. So I think the real depth of the Word of God, the real meat of the Word of God, is really contained in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And why we don't really make that natural connection or would conclude that is because we think the gospel is only the door that gets us into the kingdom.
Yeah.
But in reality, the gospel is the whole story. We're invited into that story, and we get to learn the depths of that. You know, for 2,000 years, people have been trying to figure out exactly what the cross means. I mean, there's an ample number of theories, atonement theories, they're called, as to what exactly Jesus accomplished. And we just can't plumb the depths of that.
No.
I mean, it just gets deeper and deeper and more meaningful and more precious to us. He's given us his righteousness. I mean, people have been talking about that for a long time, and we have different levels of righteousness, positional, experiential, forensic, all of these sort of things. Well, what does that tell us? is that this subject of righteousness, the very righteousness of Christ, is beyond our human comprehension. And there's so many different ways to look at it. So these are the deep things of God, all bound up in this gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Bree, I hope that's a help, Richard.
Yeah, I think you really nailed it when you said it's about relationship. The deeper things of God will never be deeper or more meaningful than when we are in relationship with another person. We're not going to, you know, get to take a quiz and get a gold star in heaven.
Yeah.
What we get is to take Jesus to people right now. And trust me, again, please, trust me, if you're dealing with someone who's got a real problem, a problem with their marriage or a problem with one of their kids or something, it requires the deep things of God to get an answer.
Yes.
Because I don't have that answer.
That's right.
But Jesus does. Regardless of how well we understand him, and we never will understand him fully, he's still more than enough for everything that we meet in this world.
But I want to understand him.
Well, you will.
Yes.
Okay, guys. From our podcast, this is from Kurt. He says, I'm a longtime supporter and listener. I've recently had a good friend commit suicide. I know that he was a believer and that he's in heaven, but why does the Holy Spirit allow us to make these decisions? That's from Kurt.
Well, there's all kinds of decisions that we make in life, and we make those decisions because we're influenced by the things of this world.
Yes.
Or by the desires of the flesh, or by sin that lives within us. So these are all external forces. When I say sin that lives within us, that's not us. It
Correct.
Just lives in our members. And so it attacks us kind of from the inside, but it's still really an external force exerting pressure on us to conform to the ways of this world. And suicide is a very selfish act. For those who make that decision, there's obviously a deep pain that is moving them to do that, and they see that's the only way out. So we have all kinds of decisions that we make, and God knows all about those decisions, and that's why he's given us hope in Jesus Christ, and that's what we have to cling to. That's what has to become the anchor for our souls, this hope that we have in Jesus. So we live in this crazy world. Life throws all sorts of things at us. Oftentimes we let the things of this world dictate the decisions and actions that we make. What God is encouraging us to do through the Word of God is to trust the Spirit within us, to let the desires of the Spirit shape and form our thinking and our decisions and our actions.
Yeah.
So we hope that's helpful, and I'm sure appreciate that question.
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. We appreciate hearing from you. Appreciate hearing from all of you, our listeners who contact us, who would like to pose a question or a topic of discussion, and you can contact us in many ways. Best way is to call 844-322-2742. That number is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 844-322-2742. If you can't hear us live, then you can record your question. We'll be glad to hear it and address it on Basic Gospel. You can also drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Again, bob@basicgospel.net. Any way is a good way. You can do it by Facebook or YouTube, and we would love to hear from you at Basic Gospel. Well, friends, we'd like you to consider the matching gift that we've been offered. With it, you can turn $25,000, that $25,000 matching gift, into $50,000, because every dollar you give toward that will be doubled. Let's see this Basic Gospel message reach new areas and new listeners with the truth of God's love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's work together to make that happen. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night, and make your contribution or pose that question, as I said just a few moments ago. And when you do, when you give this month, we'll send you a copy. Actually, it's a three-piece set. It's called package. It's called Simply Grace, and that's our way of saying thank you for your partnership with us here at Basic Gospel. So again, 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for that study in Hebrews. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.